Good morning. My name is Justin Van Wart, and with Professor Ken Kassman and Dr. Patricio Grissini sitting here this morning, I'm really excited to present to you our work looking at the estimation of crop yield potential using available global weather databases. So the objective of this study is to determine how well global weather databases compare with observed high-quality local weather data in computing crop yield potential. By yield potential, I mean that crop growth is not limited by pest, disease, nutrient stresses, but specifically is only limited by solar radiation and temperature, or in the case of water-limited yield potential, denoted here as YW, also by precipitation. I'm going to look at these. I'm going to examine three crops in three different countries for you today, U.S. rain-fed maize, China irrigated rice, and German rain-fed wheat. So climate is really important, as you all know, or many of you know who are modelers, that while management, soil, seed kind of situate our modeling scenarios, giving us a start and an end point, climate is actually what drives the model. And although it's been shown that spatially interpolated or averaged climate data leads to coarse estimates, especially at higher yield levels, no studies that have explicitly compared some of the global climate databases that are available using consistent methods. These are the global climate databases that I'm going to be showing our results for this morning. And while not an exhaustive list of the available options out there, we think this is fairly representative of the climate databases available. Specifically, we have, if I have a mouse, we have daily site-based data, and then we have grid-based data. We have data that comes to us on a daily basis. We have monthly data from satellites at coarser resolutions and at higher resolutions. So specifically, I'm going to be looking at the NOAA data, which is a global network of ground weather stations. And in another study, which I presented last year at the ASA, we found that coupled with NASA solar radiation data does a lot better at simulations. Second database we'll look at is the NCEP reanalysis data, which is an assimilation, which is kind of a basically modeled data based on ground and satellite and other observed data. Then the CREW database, which is a monthly grid base, but of a much finer spatial resolution. This is also, the CREW data is also what's used kind of as a basis for a lot of the global climate models that are being used in food security analyses for future climate change. And then lastly, we'll look at the NASA database, which is, again, kind of model data, but it's derived from observed satellite data. When I'm looking at grid-based weather data, there's kind of two values that I can use. I can use the value that is based at the grid center, or I can interpolate from surrounding grid centers to a specific site. Because the interpolated values and the grid values when put into the simulation models gave similar results, for simplicity, I'm just going to deal with the grid center values and present those results for simulations of yield potential and water-limited yield potential. So first we selected sites where quality observed climate data was available for use in simulating water-limited yield potential for U.S. rain-fed maize, German rain-fed wheat, and then yield potential for China irrigated rice. Here's our sites. In China, we have a fairly decent spread in terms of elevation. In Germany, we've hit some dense production areas, and then in the United States, we have a good kind of across that rainfall variant of the Corn Belt. The green and then the yellow colors in these maps are the harvested rice, wheat, and maize area, respectively, for those countries, and those stars are our sites. Once we have the sites, we have to standardize the weather databases. This requires estimating any missing parameters, such as evapotranspiration for most of these databases, But it also, solar radiation in the case of CRU and some others that are required for calculation of vapor transpiration. And in general, we follow the FAO paper 56 by Allen et al. Finally, we need data for every day. The models that we use are daily dynamic. They require daily data. So for the CRU monthly data, we use a cubic spline interpolation, which is very common in the literature. And then to generate rainfall, we use the kind of a not by variation of the SIM-MEDIO method. For the NOAA data, it is observed data from weather stations. And many of these stations, they may have instrument errors or missing data for certain days. And so to estimate those missing data, we use a spatial regression test developed by Ken Hubbard. Next, we simulate yield potential or water-limited yield potential for all the sites with well-validated crop models that are, again, validated for crop yield potential simulations. Specifically, we use hybrid maize for our rain-fed maize simulations developed by Haisheng Yang, who's sitting here today. And we use Oryza 2000 for the rice simulations, and we use series wheat for our wheat simulations. And then we use a stepwise regression and validation plots to kind of demonstrate our results and analyses. I'm going to be presenting a series of slides here. This is a template of what they're going to look like. Specifically, these are one-to-one plots with the simulated yield potential or water-limited yield potential using each of the four databases under analyses plotted on the x-axis against the simulated yield potential using control data as input plotted on the – oh, I'm sorry. The x-axis is the control data. The y-axis is the simulated yield potential using data from these global weather databases. And then on the left is a table, just kind of a glance at the average yield potential simulated by each of the different – using different input. And then its subsequent RMSE deviations from the yield potential simulated using the control. The insets in each of the graphs are just deviations from that one-to-one line to pull out and hopefully visualize the bias to make it more clear for you. As you can see, the NOAA coupled with NASA solar radiation did quite well in simulating rain-fed maize yield potential for the U.S. sites. The NCEP data had an underestimated yield potential, while the CRU and NASA both overestimated yield potential. This is interesting results, but the real question is why? What is in these databases that's causing these over underestimations of yield potential? Well, in the upper right, again, this is a template of some other graphs that I'll show. In the upper right, we have just a copied version of the NCEP simulated yield plotted on the y-axis versus the simulated yield potential using control data plotted on the x-axis. And you can see that the NCEP underestimates rain-fed maize yield potential. These bottom two graphs are the reported total water deficit on the left of the NCEP data plotted against the total water deficit of the control database during the pre-silking and post-silking period of the simulated periods. And on the right, we also have the NCEP average maximum temperature plotted against the reported maximum temperature of the control. And as you can see, for both the pre- and post-silking season, or period, but especially for post-silking in these maize simulations, the NCEP is over-reporting a water deficit. That is, there's a greater water stress. In addition to that, it is also over-reporting temperature during the grain filling phase, which would, in the simulation models, which would decrease the duration of that post-silking period and also lower yields, thus the underestimation of rain-fed maize yield potential. We take a closer look at the CRU data. We see that CRU data is overestimating rain-fed maize yield potential when it's used as input into the models, or into the hybrid maize model. And again, we have the total water deficit, and it is underreporting water deficit versus the control. So there's much less water stress for those for crew simulation, for simulations made with crew data versus simulations made with the control data. Then here we've plotted the solar radiation, cumulative solar radiation during the pre and post simulated pre and post silking periods. And the crew data is over-reporting cumulative solar radiation. And specifically, this would allow a greater assimilate accumulation during those durations and, again, drive up those yields. Here's the results for irrigated rice, again, using the same template as you saw for rain-fed maize, U.S. Rain-fed maize yield potential. And so here we have the NOAA data outperforms the other databases. But all of the databases have an upward bias in the rice yield simulations. What I'm going to do next, I'm going to look at the NCEP data, but I'm going to divide these points based on elevation because there's something interesting that comes out of that result. Specifically, we find that the more mountainous regions versus non-mountainous regions have a much higher simulated yield potential with the NCEP data. And again, these NCEP grids are over 200 kilometers squared, and in a very topographically variable areas, these grids are going to be covering climate data from very diverse environments, specifically pulling in cooler temperatures from these mountainous regions, and allowing for higher yields in these simulated rice crops yield potential. We take a closer look at the NASA data. NASA is overestimating irrigated rice yield potential, and it's, again, plotting the daily maximum temperature and also looking at duration. We have an over-report of Tmax during grain filling specifically, and then overestimation of duration of crop growth, both of those driving up that simulated yield potential. Look at this. Just compare this to the NOAA data, which is also point-based, as is our control data set, and real good close agreement with the control data for duration as well as maximum temperature. Here's the results for wheat. Again, mostly a upward bias of the gridded data sets, though NASA did quite well. If you're interested in hearing why, I don't have time to go into detail with this presentation, but I'd be happy to answer those questions individually afterwards. In conclusion, the simulations of yield potential and water-limited yield potential using the NOAA data did quite well, whereas the gridded data did not do very well. Specifically, the derived gridded databases have wide variation in their ability to accurately estimate yield potential because they don't reproduce the daily weather data well. So we would recommend that estimates of yield potential, water-limited yield potential, or any estimates on a yield gap should be based on actual data from ground weather stations wherever and whenever possible. And specifically, that any study that investigate the impacts of climate change on future crop yields are highly uncertain if based on derived gridded databases, because those databases do not provide a reliable estimate of current crop yields in current climates. Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yeah, I actually had the opportunity to present this for Jim Jones and Kim Booty 2 or 3 weeks ago in a meeting. So I hope they were able to weigh in on that discussion based on this this research without me there. Kim did good.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.